that we have gathered to hear what you would say to the body of Christ. Our ears are open, our hearts are ready. We say, speak to us again. Let your word, hallelujah, heal and deliver, set free. You sent your word for that purpose, and we receive it today, hallelujah, with the intention of being healed, with the intention of being delivered. We say, God, speak and your servants will heal you. Speak and your servants will obey in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree that nothing stands against the word of God. Your word is an impenetrable force. Everything must bow to the word of God. Hallelujah. And we decree every force of darkness that will come against the people of God is bowing at the word of God today. Every disease, every diagnosis, every word of doubt, hallelujah, every feeling of oppression and depression, we decree that the word of God is stronger. It is a force today, and the people of God prevail because we receive your word. The people of God break through because we receive your word. This atmosphere is shifting because your word prevails in the mighty name of Jesus. You are the God that breaks through. You are the God that breaks forth. And we decree the breaker's power is in the midst of us today in the mighty name of Jesus. So we lift our hands and we pull down heaven. Hallelujah. We open up our mouths and we decree that our God is in the midst of us, and he's here to heal, and he's here to deliver, and he's here to set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this place, in this room, amongst his people. The people of God said, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come now in the mighty name of Jesus. We destroy the power of darkness that would try to cloud the minds of believers, that would try to cloud the minds of those that desire to know you more. We decree the breaker has come. The breaker has come. He sent his word to heal us. He sent his word to deliver us. And we thank you for it now. We give you praise and glory. Hallelujah for your demonstration. Hallelujah for your word spoken. In Jesus' name, thank you for our leaders, Pastor Reginald and Pastor Emma White. We thank you that the same anointing that you placed upon their lives, you've given it to us today. You've given it to me to stand in his stead. And I thank you for good success in Jesus' name. Every believer said, thank God and amen. Come on, if you didn't just come to be coming, if you got a God that deserves glory and he deserves praise and he deserves honor, can you clap your hands like he's not some kind of he's not just a familiar person, but he's the God that created heaven and earth. He's just not some common individual, but he is a God that rules and he reigns. He has a scepter, hallelujah, that rules the world. We praise that God. We exalt that God, the God that heals, the God that delivers, the God that sets the captive free. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. We praise you. Hallelujah. Will you just tell your neighbor, I came with intentionality today, and I came to get what God wants for me. So if you're not ready, let me know so I can move to another space. Hallelujah. Now, if you're ready to hear what God has to say, will you just give him a praise? Give him a praise in expectation. Every word from God is a miracle word. So if he's going to speak, you're going to get a miracle. Come on. So the proper response is, I praise him for the miracle that's about to be poured out in my life. Every word from God is a miracle word. From God brings divine intervention. We praise you for the miracles that are about to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for this time in his presence. I am going to go straight into the word of God. I honor our leaders in their absence, Apostle Reginald and Pastor Emma White. To all of you, the people of God, the elders and ministers, and to those of you that are watching on social media, I honor you today. If you ever feel the urge to join us, we're here at 1168 Highway 52 South in Wadesboro, North Carolina. We have saved a space and a seat for you, and we decree that if you enter, you won't leave the way that you came in Jesus' name. We're going to start with the Word of God, right into the Word of God. Apostle's been talking about when the good hand of God is upon us. And I'm going to stay in that vein today. I'm going to stay in that direction. And I'm going to say, when the hand of God is upon you, when the hand of God is upon you. We're going to start in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. 1 Chronicles 4 and 10 in the King James Version. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand would be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So in this particular scripture, we see Jabez is praying a prayer. And you know, before he prayed this prayer, the situation that he was in, the Bible says that Jabez's mom named him that name because he was associated with pain and sorrow. And Jabez, one of the facets or the pillars of his prayer is, let your hand be with me. He said, let your, amongst the other things, one of the prayers he prayed was, and that thy hand would be with me. In all this, out of all the circumstances and situations that he was facing, all the difficult challenges, the circumstances in his life, I don't know exactly what they were, but apparently they were very grievous to, you know, that to hear his name called and be associated with pain. But his prayer was, God, let your hand be with me. Will you say, let your hand be with me? One of the reasons I believe that he asked for the hand of God is found in 1 Chronicles 29 and 12 in the AMPC. 1 Chronicles 29 and 12 in the AMPC. It says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hands are power and might. In your hands it is to make great and to give strength to all. When the hand of God is upon you, the Bible says, in his hands are power and might. In his hands is the strength to make great. In his hand is it to make great and to give strength to who? To all. So I understand why Jabez would pray that prayer. He was in essence saying, God, it is in your hand to give me power, to give me might, to make me great, and to strengthen me. And when we look at this scripture and we look at the good hand of God being upon us, hallelujah, we're asking God, we don't just want to flow in our fleshly strength. We don't just want to flow in our own intellectual ability, but Father, let your hand be upon me, because when your hand is upon me, I have strength, I have might, I have power, and you will make me great. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, God, let your hand be upon me. Come on, we're not just look. When you see people moving in the things of God, when you see people accomplishing the things of God, when you see people making great feats, and when you see people doing great exploits, it's because the hand of God has given them power and might. It is because the hand of God is making them great. It's not their ability. It's not our strength. Somebody shout, the hand of God. I want the hand of God so that no matter where I came from, no matter what my situation has been, no matter if I had a Jabez circumstance, a Jabez experience, when the hand of God comes upon me, all of that is null and void, because I get strength, I get might, my name becomes great. Somebody shout, the hand of God. When the hand of God is upon us, let's go to Ezra 7 and 28 in the King James Version. Ezra 7 and 28. Ezra 7 and 28 says in the King James Version, and hath extended mercy unto us before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened. Remember, the hand of God gives strength. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel the chief men to go with me. So I want to talk to us today when the hand of God. Ezra said, I was strengthened. I was strengthened. And when we're strengthened, we're not just strengthened to be strengthened. There's something associated with needing to be strengthened. There's something that's going to be required that's going to need that strength. That we're not just, God's just not giving us strength to flex our muscles. He's given us strength because there's something that he wants us to accomplish. And he's telling you that I'm giving you the necessary tools, the necessary ammunition to accomplish the assignment. And the Bible says, and Ezra was strengthened as the hand of God was on him. But let me go back and read. Let me bring us up to date to this scripture. Ezra 7, let's go to the Message Bible. Ezra 7, verses 6 through 7. I want you to know what this hand of God, this strength looks like. That's Ezra. He arrived from Babylon. He was a scholar, well practiced in the revelation of Moses and the God of Israel that the God of Israel had given him. Because God's hand was on Ezra, the king gave him what? Everything he asked for. Because what? God's hand was upon him, right? Hallelujah. Because God's hand was on Ezra, the king gave him everything he asked for. Go to verse number 7. It says, some of the Israelite priests, Levite singers, temple security guards, and temple slaves went with him to Jerusalem. It was the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. I learned that word, and I can't remember it. The king, but you know, you know who he was. The next verse, the verse number 12, it says, Artaxerxes, the king of the kings of Israel, the priest, the scholar of the teaching of the God of heaven, peace, verse number, keep going to verse number 20. I hereby, and this is the king talking to Ezra. Remember, the good hand of God is on Ezra. I hereby decree that any of the people of Israel living in my kingdom who want to go to Jerusalem, including their priests and Levites, may go with you. You are being sent by the king and his 7 advisors to carry out an investigation of Judah and Jerusalem in relation to the teaching of your God that you are carrying with you. Next verse. You are also authorized to take the silver and the gold, and the king and his advisors are giving for the God of Israel, whose residence is in Jerusalem, along with all the silver and gold that has been collected from the generously donated offerings all over Babylon, including that from the people and the priests for the temple of their God in Jerusalem. So now we see that God is giving him resources and people. And he says, I'm giving you all the gold and silver that's been collected from the people around the country, along with all the silver and gold that's been collected from the generously donated offerings all over Babylon. Go to verse number 17. Use this money carefully to buy bulls and rams and lambs and the ingredients for grain offerings and drink offerings, and then offer them to the altar of the temple of your God in Jerusalem. Next verse. You are free to use whatever is left over from the silver and gold for what you and your brothers decide is keeping with the will of your God. Next verse. Deliver to the God of Jerusalem the vessels given to you for the services of worship in the temple of your God. Next verse. Whatever else you need for the temple of God, you may pay out of the royal bank. He gave him access to people, to money, to resources. And a matter of fact, the scripture says right here, he opened up the good treasure of the kingdom to him because why? The good hand of God was upon his life. So what am I saying to us? God is saying, when my hand is upon you, there's no resource that is restrained from you. There's nothing that I won't release to you for the purpose and the plan that I've ordained for your life. Ezra had an assignment to go to Jerusalem and reform, to teach the people of God. And God says, I am resourcing you with not only people and permission and influence, but I'm opening to you all. He said, all the royal bank is available to you. God, put your hand on me. Hallelujah. God, put your hand on me. There's some resources that I need that God said, when my hand is upon you, I make you great. I give you strength. Hallelujah. I give you power and I give you might, and I'll open the good treasure of heaven. Hallelujah. And I will open to you resources that you did not know of. So we're not just saying, hallelujah, that the hand of God is upon us. It's not some kind of cliche, but it's a declaration. It's a prophetic utterance that what God has called me to, he is pushing me. He's prompting me. He's giving me everything I need to accomplish that assignment. So we're not just admiring, hallelujah, what the things that God is doing. We're not just desiring what God is doing, but we are receiving the strength. We are receiving the ability. We are receiving the wherewithal to walk into what God has called us to. All right. So the Hebrew word for strengthen here is chazak, literally meaning hardened for the task ahead. So God said, I'm strengthening you with my hand so you will be hardened for the task ahead. Not wishy-washy, not halfway in and out, but somebody shout, I'm resolved. God's hand is upon me and I am held firmly by him, right? Everything that I need is in the hand of God. Everything that I could face, God has already remedied with putting his hand upon my life. So the good hand of God is not just a poetic phrase. Hallelujah. It's a prophetic reality that provokes us to movement. What did I say? Why did God strengthen you? Why did God put his hand upon you? Not to just sit where you are, but it's a prophetic reality that provokes us to move. Somebody shout, provokes us to move. When his hand is upon you, he shifts you to implementation. Come on, implementation. That is, it means that God is requiring us to do something. His hand is upon us, hallelujah, because he's going to require something of us. Hallelujah. We are being sent to accomplish an assignment for God. We are no longer confined by natural limits, but we are walking in supernatural authority. Ezra didn't gather courage from within himself. He didn't draw boldness from some type of personality or, hallelujah, he didn't go take a personality to test to see if he was courageous or if he was shy or timid. No, he didn't do. He said, I was strengthened. I got boldness and courage. Why? Because the hand of the Lord is upon me. So it doesn't matter your personality type. It doesn't matter, hallelujah, if you're an introvert or an extrovert. It doesn't matter if you talk loud or talk soft when the hand of God is upon you. Hallelujah. There is a tenacity that is released for you to do and be everything that God has called you to be. He said, I was strengthened because the hand of my God was upon me. So I decree today in this room, you are being strengthened right now because his hand is upon you. Where you were weak, God gives strength. Where you were lacking, God gives might. Where you were failing, God lifts you up. Hallelujah. Where you were sinking, God turns things in your favor. Somebody shout, the hand of God is on me. His hand is on it. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. I have been activated. Hallelujah. To accomplish. That's why Apostle would talk to us about new moves. Hallelujah. Because God is requiring us. And we keep hearing this over and over and over again. It's time to move. We're talking about preparation for crossing over. And God now saying, my hand is with you. It's strengthening you. Hallelujah. For movement. Hallelujah. Somebody shout for movement. Will you tell your neighbor, the Lord keeps saying, move. Will you just move? He keeps saying, move. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about 3 points today, and I'm going to get through this as quickly as I can, as the Lord will allow. Point one, when the hand of God is upon you. Somebody shout, when the hand of God is upon you. Point one, the hand of God releases kingdom building movement. Somebody shout, kingdom building movement. This is about ground, taking ground. This is about shifting culture. We don't just preach the kingdom. We don't just talk about God, but we make movement to build the kingdom. It's not just passivity. Come on, I don't just sit in the congregation or ride in my car. The good hand of God is upon me. No. What God is giving, why he's highlighting the fact that his good hand is upon us, because he's expecting us to execute now. Have you seen the culture around us? Do you hear the news? Do you hear the media? Why do you think God would say at this time, but the good hand of God is upon you? Because there's something I want you to build. There's something I want you to execute in this climate. Resources won't be a problem. That's why you read Ezra. Help won't be a problem. That's why we read Ezra. Come on. Favor won't be a problem. That's why Ezra had favor with the king. God says, my hand is upon you. I've given you everything you need. Somebody shout, now execute. Build the kingdom. Whatever your assignment is, whatever you're called to do, wherever you're called to be, God says, now is the time to execute. I need my glory revealed in this climate. And the glory, the hand of God is upon you. It's time for divine execution. You have been empowered by God's hand. Ezra said, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord was upon me, and I gathered what I needed to get the job done. Ezra was a priest, and he was a skilled scribe with God's word in his heart and favor under his life. He was under a pagan king. He was under a pagan king. So yeah, we got some squirrely stuff going on in the administration. But what does that matter when the good hand of God is upon you? What is Proverbs? I think it's 20. I can't remember what it was. 20, 21. I can't remember what it is. But it says that the heart of the king is where? In the hand of the Lord. So whatever we're facing in this climate, not only are we praying, but we're making movement. We're executing divine strategy because the good hand of God is upon us. Hallelujah. It says under this pagan king, he led a spiritual revival. Why? Because the good hand of God was upon him. He reordered the structure of worship. He brought the people back to God. He pointed them back in the direction of the kingdom of God. And that's what we're assigned to do. The world is looking another way, but God has put his hand upon you so we can bring about spiritual revival in a climate that is declining quickly. Hallelujah. Somebody shout spiritual revival because the hand of God is upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ezra was able to do this. He restored worship. He taught the law and rebuilt spiritual identity. I am watching people that, you know, you never thought subliminally walking away from the faith. I'm watching preachers and people that we've looked up to, and I'm not going to call any names, but I mean, if you can just look at what's going on, even on social media, I am just blown away at how some believers are regressing in the things of God. And that's why God says, I want you to bring about spiritual revival. I want it to be known that my hand is upon you, because I need somebody in the world, in the marketplace, to point people back to worship, to point people back to the word of God, to rebuild our spiritual identity. There's people, and I think Apostle mentioned this, but I heard it myself. There are people now teaching that homosexuality is okay. It was not a sin. They're teaching that now. That is a teaching. And they're trying to guilt people that believe otherwise, that we are bashing, and we're not hating anybody. But the truth of the matter is, God speaks against that. And because the good hand of God is upon us, he said, I need you in this climate. I need you revealing who I am. I need you pointing people back to me. You have what you need. I've given you your assignment. I've given you the resources. Hallelujah. Now I need you to help usher in spiritual revival. There's something that you're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. Because the hand of the Lord was upon him, he received spiritual authority, resources, he received leaders, and he received strength. We see the same thing in Nehemiah 2:4-8 in the New Living Translation. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He said, what do you want? The king then asked me, so what do you want? Praying under breath to the God of heaven. Praying under my breath to the God of heaven. Next verse. He said, I said, if it please the king and if the king thinks well of me, send me to Judah, to the city where my family is buried, so that I can rebuild it. Do you see a pattern developing here? Ezra wanted to go reestablish the worship of God. Nehemiah wanted to go and rebuild the things of God. Next verse. the king with the queen sitting alongside him, how long will your work take and when would you expect to return? I gave him a time and the king gave his approval to send me. Next verse. Then I said, if it pleases the king, provide me with letters to the governors across the Euphrates that authorize my travel through Judah. Next verse. And also an order to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, to supply me with timber for the beams of the temple of forestry, the wall of the city, and the house where I'll be living. The generous hand of God was with me, and the king gave them to me. Why? Because the good hand of God was with him. He was going to rebuild, hallelujah, the temple of God. He was going to help usher in spiritual revival amongst the people of God. And the Bible says, and the king gave his permission. He gave him resources, hallelujah. He gave him what he needed. And the Bible says, because of this, in 52 days, Nehemiah raised up that wall because the good hand of God was with him. Hallelujah. So when we look at this, what was the point? I'm getting to a point. What was the point? The hand of God releases kingdom building movement. So because the hand of God is upon your life, somebody shout, you need to be building something. We need to be building something. We need to be building the kingdom of God. We need to be laying our hands to something that points people back to God. Hallelujah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, but he received favor and access. So Nehemiah was not some type of political figure. He was actually a slave. He was not in the royal camp or the royal group. He was not a part of the royal kingdom. He was just a cupbearer. But he saw something that needed to be done. He sought God, and he acknowledged that God's hand was upon him to get it done. And that's what I'm saying to us today. The hand of God is upon us to get it done. In both accounts, God's hand was not simply just there to comfort them, but it was for an assignment. I don't know if I can convey this without screaming. It's an assignment. There is an assignment. If you're under the sound of my voice, there is an assignment. And the good hand of God is upon your life for that assignment. His hand didn't just fall on them, but he publicly acknowledged them before these rulers. That's why God would say to Joshua, today I'm going to magnify you in the eyes of all the people. I'm not going to do it in private. I want people to know that you've been deputized by the kingdom of God to bring in revival, to bring about change, to bring about kingdom movement. Hallelujah. When God's hands rest upon you, this is what I want you to write down. I want us to, because it does bring about, you know, those things that we desire, like wealth and the new house and the new car. All those are good. All those are good. And they come with that divine hand of God as well. But today, I want you to take this portion of it. When God's hand rests upon you, it's a divine push to action. It's a divine push to action. Apostle did say that God's hand represents power, provision, and protection. And I want to push us a little further. It represents a divine push. God's hand is pushing you. He's pushing you to get something done. You have provision. You have protection. You have his power. Why do you need all that if you're not going to do anything? There's a grace that God comes with the hand when the hand of God is upon you. God says, today I want you to declare that you will speak with authority because the hand of God is upon you. Come on, I'm going to start speaking to situations with authority because the hand of God is upon me. Hallelujah. I am going to start planning. Hallelujah. With intention to carry out. Write it down. I am planning with intention to carry out. I'm not just writing in a book to say I'm journaling or I'm doing something or no. I'm writing with intentionality of carrying out the plan of God. I'm writing for strategy. I'm writing down strategy. I'm writing down goals and ideas with the intention of following through, because the good hand of God is upon me. I am moving with confidence because the good hand of God is upon me. I'm not doubtful, fearful, fretful. I am moving in confidence. Why? Because the good hand of God is upon my life. God's hand will make you effective. Like Nehemiah and Ezra, you will be able to organize, gather, and execute. So I got a lot of declarations today. Come on, say, I am no longer just dreaming. I am building. Come on, make that decree of your life. I'm not just dreaming about what I want. I am building because the hand of God is upon my life. I'm building my future. I'm building for the kingdom of God. I'm building for my generation. I'm not just dreaming about it anymore. I am literally putting my hands to it because I got a divine push from the hand of God. I don't just have an anointing. I don't just have oil, but I got orders from God. Come on, I'm not just anointed to be walking around saying I'm anointed. But somebody say, I'm anointed. You girl, you just an I. There's no glory in that if I'm not causing anything to happen. The good hand of God is upon you. He has anointed you for. That's what Jesus said when he went to the temple. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me too. The hand of God is upon you, and he has anointed you too. You have orders from heaven to accomplish, to get things done, to build, to grow, to master, to bring people, hallelujah, to the kingdom of God, to build things for the glory of God. Somebody shout one more time, the good hand of God is turning my opposition into opportunity. Remember, we got to see it differently. New moves require new vision. So my opposition is not something working against me, but it's an opportunity for God to reveal his hand. I'm changing my perspective. I'm changing the way because the good hand of God is upon me. Yes, this could be against me, but no, God got another way to get me around it. Help me look at it as an opportunity to learn God in a better way. Hallelujah. Help me to learn God in a better way through my opposition. Hallelujah. Come on. The good hand of God is upon me, and he's turning my pain into plans and purpose. That's why Apostle would tell us last week, you can't memorialize your pain. You can't memorialize your scars. You got to memorialize the victories that God is ushering into your life, because the good hand of God is upon you, and he's turning your pain into purpose. There's a purpose that you experience what you experience. I heard somebody teach one time, God does not waste pain. Hallelujah. If you went through it, the scripture says all things work together. So we got to learn, hallelujah, how to change again our lenses and recognize the good hand of God upon me, even in my opposition and even in my pain. So God has anointed us. He's put his hand upon us, number one, because the hand of God releases kingdom building movement. Somebody shout movement. Come on, you can no longer sit on your gifts, your talents, your skills, your dreams, your vision. Just put your hands to it and let God work. Just start doing something. I don't know if it's a ministry that God has given you to birth. I don't know. I don't know if it's just a Facebook post or I don't that can turn into a ministry for millions. We don't know, but whatever it is, come on, somebody shout movement. Stagnant water becomes diseased. When we don't move, we become disgruntled. We become angry and frustrated and bitter. Why? Because you're not moving. you become anxious and you become just all irritated. Why? You're stagnant. You're not growing. You're not moving. And still water begins to stink. It grows bacteria. It becomes contagious. You got to move. The good hand of God is upon you for divine movement. Number two. Point two, the hand of God empowers us for supernatural acceleration. The hand of God, when the hand of God is upon us, the hand of God empowers us for supernatural acceleration. Go to 1 Kings 18 and 46. In the King James Version. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab into the entrance of Jezreel. So you know this story. Elijah heard the sound of the abundance of rain. He told Ahab, go ahead, get your chariot. It's getting ready to rain. The story goes, go back to verse number 44. Let me read it. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. Next verse. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now, Ahab was on a chariot. Next verse. But the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Somebody shout, but the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his, it seemed like Ahab had an advantage. He had a chariot, but Ahab had to run. But Elijah had to run on his feet. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab into the entrance of, but he ran before Ahab. In the interest of Jezreel. Hallelujah. So the hand of God empowers us with supernatural acceleration. As we see here, Elijah outran a chariot with horses because the hand of God was upon his life. Somebody shout supernatural acceleration. Elijah, he was not running off his own strength. He was not running off of adrenaline. He was running, why? Because the hand of the Lord was upon his life. The hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. He was running with supernatural acceleration. Tell your neighbors, the hand of God is giving you supernatural acceleration. So let's look at Isaiah 40 and 31. Isaiah 40 and 31. They will run and not grow weary. Somebody shout, that's me. With the hand of God on my life, I am connected to supernatural acceleration. I will run and not grow weary. I have sustained strength. Come on. I have sustained strength in the midst of my movement. Come on. I can keep going when other people get tired. I can keep going when things get difficult. I can keep going when the clouds get low. And I can keep going when the news is bad. Come on. I can run and not be weary because I am connected to supernatural acceleration. Hallelujah. I am running without weariness. I'm not just running on normal human endurance, but I got the hand of God upon my life. I have a divine appointment. I have divine empowerment. Somebody shout, so I don't burn out when I'm doing his will. Come on, I've heard that word so much. I don't burn out when I'm doing his will. Because what the Bible say, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. When the good hand of God is upon you and you're walking in purpose and assignment, you don't burn out doing his will. You have to move with supernatural, hallelujah, acceleration and not human effort. That's why God said, my hand is upon you. I don't want you depending on your own effort. I don't want you depending on your own strength, your own energy. They that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Come on, I'm going to outlast storms. Hallelujah. I'm going to outlast my storm. I'm going to outlast my pain. I'm going to outlast this situation. I'm going to outlast the lack. I'm going to outlast the conversations. I'm going to outlast it because I run and I don't get weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God's hand is upon you, you can run with endurance, and that confuses the enemy. Why aren't they falling? Why aren't they tired? Why don't they just give up? Hallelujah. Because the good hand of God is upon me. Hallelujah. And he's causing me to outpace my delays. He's causing me to outrun those that thought they were ahead of me. He's causing me, hallelujah, to run past my challenges and run past, hallelujah, those things that thought they would hold me back. Somebody shout, spiritual acceleration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Others may faint, but I'm going to keep pressing. Hallelujah. Not because I'm strong, but because the hand of God is strengthening me. Hallelujah. I'm not a superhuman. I just got the hand of God on my life. Somebody tried to shame me and said, I know you think you're superwoman because you try to do everything. No, that ain't about superwoman. It's about the hand of God being on my life. So I can stand up when other people are falling down. I can take things other people can't take. Somebody shout, and that's me too. You can take what other people can't take. You don't fall out at the slightest challenge, the slightest difficulty, because I can run and not be weary because, hallelujah, I wait upon the Lord and he renews my strength. He calls me to mount up with wings. I run and I am not weary, and I walk and I am not fainting. Hallelujah. Verse number, go to Habakkuk 3 and 19. I'm telling you how God is causing us to run and not be weary, how he's causing spiritual acceleration in our lives. He makes my feet like, the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Hallelujah. He'll make me walk upon my high places. He'll make me walk upon my high places. This is about God giving me elevation and speed, hallelujah, and agility, hallelujah, navigating through difficult situations. You need to make that confession because, God, I need some strategy to navigate through difficult situations. Difficult situations take us, frustrate us, take us out, make us quit, make us back up, make us take our marbles and go home. But no, the Lord says, I'll make your feet like hinds feet. I'll give you strategy for difficult situations. I'll help you move swiftly, hallelujah, through rugged terrain, and I'll help you get through difficult seasons in your life. I'll help you move in the midst of what should be something that drowns you. God says, I'll give you feet like hinds feet so you can keep moving and make progress when others are falling away. Supernatural acceleration. We're not just moving fast. Hallelujah. We're moving because the hand of God is pushing us forward. Hallelujah. This is not something that, hallelujah, is just that would just come naturally to you. This is not, we're not talking about our own natural strength here. We're talking about the ability that God is placing upon our lives to make up time. What did we talk about? We talked about this earlier, sometime later last year, that God was redeeming the time because his hand is upon us. He's releasing supernatural acceleration. So it doesn't matter if you feel like you're behind. The good hand of God is upon you, and he's pushing you forward. He's catapulting you. Hallelujah. It's catapulting you. And it's not by power. Zechariah 4 and 6. It's not by power nor by might, but by his spirit. This verse reminds us, hallelujah, that we're not operating in human strength, intelligence, or effort. It is carried out by the hand of God, the spirit of God. Hallelujah. When the good hand of God is upon us, write this down. You can accomplish more with less. You can accomplish more with less. Doors will open, hallelujah, without you having to manipulate. You will be accelerated in ways that cannot be explained. I wrote that down. I'm going to be accelerated in ways that I ain't going to have no answer for what God's getting ready to do in my life. So don't ask me. My answer is going to be the good hand of God. The good hand of God. Hallelujah. It's the strategy of the Spirit. The hand of God is upon us to accelerate us beyond logic, beyond limitation, and beyond natural law. This means that you're going to reach unreachable places. Hallelujah. You're going to outpace others that you may think have been ahead of you, because you're moving at the rate, hallelujah, of divine empowerment. You're not running on your own strength. You're running with the wind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm running with the wind of the Spirit. We're outrunning discouragement. Come on, I won't be discouraged in this season. The good hand of God is upon me. I'm not discouraged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not put off by any challenges or disappointments. I am looking for the hand of God. I am looking for God to move in my favor. Hallelujah. Last point. We said number one, when the hand of God is upon us, it is for what? The hand of God releases kingdom building. All right. Movement. Somebody shout movement. Number two, the hand of God empowers supernatural acceleration. Number three, the hand of God releases kingdom impact in crisis. When God's hand is upon you, I've said this already, a crisis doesn't destroy you. Crisis becomes a breeding ground for boldness, for godly leadership. When we look at Nehemiah and Daniel, these two men turn crisis in the kingdom into opportunity. And I believe, again, the Lord is just encouraging us in this time and in this season. There's so many rumors about what is getting ready to happen in our climate, in our economy, in the world, in our system. But God is saying, my hand is upon you, and I am releasing you to make kingdom impact during anything that pops up, during anything that comes about. I am giving you permission to make kingdom impact when the world is in crisis. Hallelujah. You will be making prophetic declarations, and you will be watching the hand of God move on you and your family and your generation. Somebody shout, not fear, but kingdom impact. Nehemiah 2 and 8, and the king granted me what I asked for the good hand of God was upon me. Daniel 2 and 48. Let's go there. I'm sorry, I had already read Nehemiah 2 and 8. Daniel 2 and 48. Daniel was exiled into Babylon during the time of intense national and spiritual crisis. They were in captivity in Babylon. And Daniel, in this culture where they tried to turn him against his God, turn him against his culture, against his teaching, Daniel, because the hand of God was upon him, he would never compromise. And that's what God is saying to us. Because my hand is upon you, you don't have to bow. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to deny your faith in this economy, in this climate. You do not have to become something that I did not call you to be. As a matter of fact, I want you to stand out more. That's why I am announcing my hand is upon you. Daniel stood in integrity, though he was surrounded by compromise. He had answers for the age. The king couldn't get his magicians and his sorcerers and his people to interpret the dream, but Daniel went to God and got answers because the good hand of God was upon him. They might not know what to do out there, but you should have an answer. Because the good hand of God is upon you. They won't know what to do, but they're going to come to you because the good hand of God is upon you. And you need to have an answer. You cannot agree. I don't know, child. It's just bad out here. Things are just going awry. God said, no, I'm giving you an answer for the anxiety, for the anxious. My hand is upon you. You are my remnant. I need you to stand in integrity when others around you are compromising. I need you to be ready to answer their concerns and their questions. Because my hand is upon you. Ooh. So God says, I want you to be ready. I want you to have what you need. Prepare. We heard that word, prepare. I don't want you to be one of the ones bowing. I don't want you to be the one of the ones that's acclimating just because it's what everybody else is doing. Hallelujah. I don't want you trying, hallelujah, to be something that you're not, to escape the challenge that may come. Daniel would not bow to escape the lion's den. He said, no, my God is able. And if he doesn't, hallelujah, I know he still can. And God says, my hand is upon you, so you can take that kind of tenacious stand that when those around you would compromise, would bow, no, you got a stance that says, I won't bow to what God has not ordained. Hallelujah. Remember what I said, crisis is getting, and God's hand is upon us to release kingdom impact in crisis. Hallelujah. Crisis did not make Daniel back up. He refused the king's meat. He refused the bow. He stood for what he knew and who he knew God was. He would not turn from his faith. He said, y'all not gonna make me stop praying. I'm gonna do what I do to the glory of God. Hallelujah. He consecrated himself for the season he was in. So God says, when things break loose, hallelujah, it will not be a crisis for you, but it will be a clarification of what I called you to. It will be a clarification of what I've called you to do. So you should not be falling to pieces because the good hand of God is upon you. Hallelujah. So what is crisis? It's a kingdom opportunity. Hallelujah. Who is God raising up? Somebody shout me. Hallelujah. And what's resting on your life? The good hand of God. And I hope you're hearing me. So I declare, I was born for this moment. I was anointed for this season. I am moving in with God's hand upon me. Hallelujah. So I'm not just going through. We're not just going through, but God's going to use us in this. Somebody shout, God's going to use me in this. So don't misread. I think that was in our Bible study the other night. Sometimes we misread what's going on in our lives. We misread what's going on around us. Come on, we're not going to misread this time and this season. God's hand is upon us, and apparently there's something he wants to accomplish through us. There's something he wants to reveal through us. There's something he wants to declare through us. So we're not going to misread it, but we're going to look for divine strategy. We're going to look for the hand of God. We're going to look for the, we're going to listen for the instructions of God. Hallelujah. God is raising up individuals like you and I, hallelujah, to be instruments of revival and instruments of renewal and instruments, hallelujah, of restoration. His hand is upon us not to bless us only, but to use us. Somebody shout, not just to bless me, but to use me. Hallelujah. So what does the good hand of God do? It releases movement. It initiates acceleration. And it produces impact. It releases movement, initiates acceleration, and produces impact. So the good hand of God is upon each of us today. God is stirring us because he's calling us to be strengthened for the journey that he is setting us on. Somebody shout again, the good hand of God is on my life. We're moving in boldness. Why? The good hand of God is on my life. Why can't the devil stop you? Why are you not discouraged? Why are you not fearful? Why are you not backing up? Why are you building for your future? Because the good hand of God is on our lives. When the good hand of God is on our lives, hallelujah, strength rises. Hallelujah. When the good hand of God is on our lives, somebody say, I will not be crushed. Hallelujah. When the good hand of God is on my life, hallelujah, I will survive every attempt of warfare that comes against me. I will build, I will rise, I will run. Somebody shout, I'm taking territory. And I'm stepping into this new season, not by fear, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. I'm taking this new season, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. Stand on your feet. We're going to make a declaration, and we're going to be done. The hand of God is upon me. Come on, make it boldly decree. The hand of God is upon me. I am walking into destiny with heaven's backing. I am not just inspired by the word of God, but I am activated by the word of God. I am activated to move. I'm activated to take charge. I am activated to take territory. I'm not just anointed, I'm assigned. I'm assigned to lay hands on the sick. I'm assigned to preach liberty. I'm assigned to open the eyes of the blind. I'm not just anointed. I have an assignment. The warfare didn't win. Come on, my warfare against me didn't win. But God's hand is working. Come on, warfare won't win. God's hand is working. Now praise God for his hand working in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God for his hand working in your life. Warfare didn't win. God's hand is working. Come on. Sickness didn't win. God's hand is working. Lack didn't cause you foreclosure. God's hand is working. Come on. The anxiety didn't cripple you because God's hand is working. Praise God for his hand working. I agree in some sense with the apostle. We don't know to the degree that God's hand is working in our lives. We take so much for granted. We really don't understand how the hand of God is maneuvering and shifting and pushing back. I was riding down the road the other day and I was doing something and I had Josiah in the car. And before I knew it, I was up on the back of a vehicle. And it was only by the hand of God that it was not a tragic mistake. And so oftentimes, we're in situations, we don't know the danger. We don't know, hallelujah, the challenges. We don't know the attempts on our lives, but I come to decree to us that God says, because I have an assignment for you, because there's a purpose for your life, because I need you in this season, my hand, hallelujah, is working in your life. It's maneuvering, it's protecting, it's keeping you from dangers, it's keeping you from things that want to destroy you. I'll be very transparent. My blood pressure will not go down since I had that baby. It will not go down. You know, I had preeclampsia when I had him. But since birthing, my blood pressure will not go down. I've been on 3 different medications trying to get my blood pressure down. But I stand today and decree the good hand of God is upon my life. And no sickness, hallelujah, no disease will be able to stop the move of God. And I don't know what your situation is. It might not be your blood pressure. It might be your finances. It might be your relationships. It might be some different, some situation with your work. I don't know what it is. But can we lift our hands and praise God for his hand working? His hand is working. His hand is working. His hand is working. His hand is at work in your life. His hand is moving you to the place of promise, to the place of destiny. And no devil in hell, hallelujah, can work against the hand of God. Hallelujah. He's turning your struggle into strategy. Hallelujah. Your pain into purpose. Hallelujah. And he's strengthening you for his task, for the task ahead. Father, we thank you for your good hand. We thank you that you are at work in our lives. We thank you that the warfare did not win. The warfare will not win because your hand is at work. Hallelujah. The enemy's strategy will not work. The enemy's plots, they fall. Hallelujah. Every trap the enemy has set for these that are under the sound of my voice, hallelujah, the Lord will reveal, hallelujah, and he will lead us around. We will not get trapped in the fowler's net, hallelujah, because your hand is at work in our lives. I decree, Father, we're walking, hallelujah, in divine strategy. We decree today that supernatural acceleration is upon our lives. We're outpacing every delay that has tried to keep us, hallelujah, from reaching the place that you've called us to. We decree today we run, hallelujah, and we are not weary. Come on, we run and we're not tired. We're running and we're not fainting, hallelujah. We will not burn out before we see the promises of God. Because your hand is strong upon our lives. We decree today, Father, hallelujah, that we have answers, hallelujah. We have answers in our own lives. We have answers for those that are around us that can seem confused. We are like Daniel, hallelujah. We seek you and you give us an answer, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. You are the God that has answers. You see in the darkness, even though you're full of light. And we decree today, Father, hallelujah, that you will release unto us wisdom for this time. Wisdom for this season, wisdom for this nation and our surroundings, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are in Wadesboro, North Carolina, but we decree, God, even as we're taught that atmospheric pressures of a butterfly can affect the atmosphere in Africa, we decree today, Father, that even in this place, our prayers are affecting our country. Our prayers are reaching our nation. And we decree the good hand of God is over this country, over this nation, over our community, over Axon. Come on, shout the good hand of God. The good hand of God is over this county. We decree no more murders. Hallelujah. The good hand of God. Hallelujah. We decree, Father, as we have a right to make kingdom impact, we decree that our school system will not be the bottom, but we will rise to the top in the mighty name of Jesus. We decree that our children, this children in this county, they shall do exploits to the glory of God. We will no longer settle for the status quo, but the good hand of God is on us. So our prayers are reaching nations and territories in the mighty name of Jesus. You've anointed us for movement. You've anointed us with strategy and acceleration. We decree today, God, the divine push, we accept it in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you need, but this environment is pregnant with answers. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're petitioning God for, but this environment, this atmosphere is pregnant with solutions. God is giving you solutions today. He's teaching you what to pray for. Your good hand is upon our health today. In the mighty name of Jesus, your good hand is upon our bodies today. You strengthen us, hallelujah. You cause every disease, hallelujah, to cease now. You cause every organ to come into alignment to the glory of God. Oh, God, no disease can tarry amongst his people because the good hand of God is working in our favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My prayers are reaching Wake Forest, North Carolina, where we got the diagnosis of prostate cancer. We decree today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, stretch out your hand over that young man. Stretch out your hand over Josh. In the mighty name of Josiah, let my prayers reach him where he is. The good hand of God is upon his life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know if anyone in your family is facing something, but now is the opportunity to lift up your voice to God. Your warfare will not work because the hand of God is moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aramasoraya rabaya. Yondo ramala la maya sota la maya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your hand is upon us, Father, and we recognize it. We recognize, hallelujah, that you've called us for this time. Hallelujah. You called Ezra, you called Daniel, you called Nehemiah. Things were not perfect. They were not perfect conditions, but all that mattered is that your hand was upon them. Father, we stand today, our lives are not perfect. We are not in perfect situations, but we decree since your hand is upon us, we want to do what you called us to do. We will move with the rhythm of heaven. Yeah, we'll move with the rhythm of heaven. We'll move with the sound of your word. We'll move with the power, hallelujah, of your hand. Somebody shout, God, thank you that your hand is upon my life. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you, Father, that you're working in the midst of us. We decree that we will see turnaround. We will see change starting right here. In our own county. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were called to be witnesses first amongst their own. We decree, Father, that your hand is upon us, and we make ourselves instruments amongst our own. In the name of Jesus, we pray, hallelujah, for government in this county. We pray for resolution in this county. We pray, hallelujah, God, that you will send answers. You will send help. You will send strategy. Make us resources in the mighty name of Jesus. You told Ezra you gave him men. Hallelujah. You gave him a favor at the bank. Hallelujah. You gave him security in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today that you will give us what we need to make kingdom movement and cause kingdom impact. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, would you just shout in the room and clap your hands and give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We pray for those that are battling issues with depression and oppression. The enemy is warring in their minds, warring against their destiny in their minds. We pray for them today. Break the stronghold in the mighty name of Jesus. Break the stronghold in their minds that will not let them surrender to the purpose and the plan of God. Those that are battling oppression and depression, those that are battling uncertainty about their future, we intercede for them right now. There are some people among us, believers. They're not here, but they're among us. People that we know, people that have fellowship with us. Can we just take 30 seconds and pray for them? Because the good hand of God is upon you. You can initiate movement in their lives. Come on, just open up your mouth and pray for them. It could be your child next time, but can you pray for those that are battling? You might not know who they are, but just open up your mouth and begin to intercede for them. Ramanderia soto da basata. Nereondo so kura malala maya daya. Hiondo raba soto lobo soto ya. Nalala mande.